You guys are going to have to forgive me. I haven't been in a proper church in a while. So, Pastor Healy, thank you for inviting me on this Good Friday evening. Amen. It is a Good Friday. There is a peculiar phenomenon that exists in American society. And by American society, I refer to the United States. It's a phenomenon that can be traced to the First World War. It's something that sociologists and psychologists have spent a lot of time on, and they call it death anxiety. Now, on an individual level, death anxiety just refers to a preoccupation or a heightened anxiety or fear as it relates to death. But on a corporate level, it takes on a personality all on its own. And if we talk about on a national level, death anxiety shrouds itself, masquerades itself in conversations about safety and security. Responses are volatile, throwing us into war, proclaiming terror where there may not actually be any. Death anxiety. The church has a significant role in death anxiety. Where else do believers go but to find out information about what will occur when one dies? But because churches have so often in the American context been more concerned with becoming cruise ships rather than lighthouses, no pun intended, they follow a mantra that follows a familiar theme known as the Burger King slogan, "You can have it your way." And so then rather than speaking truth to the death anxiety, instead the church just seeks to soothe death anxiety, spinning tall tales, myth and mythology about what will actually occur. We spend all of this money. We commission murals and stained glass mirrors and artwork to shroud our sanctuaries and our congregations in, to soothe this anxiety that they may fear about death. We have murals and stained glass with angels. But not the seraphim and the cherubim of the Bible, just white people with wings. We commission and spend all of this money on murals and artwork that we shroud our sanctuaries and our churches in that have images of God that look just like Pastor Healy. And in the midst of these murals is Jesus the Christ, standing on the side of God in the presence of angelic hosts, but not the Palestinian Middle Eastern Jew that Jesus actually was, more or less a white man with blonde hair and blue eyes. Oh, but Minnesota, you know how we do. We're progressive. So in our progressive mainline churches are images of Jesus with brown hair and brown eyes, with skin so pale it makes me wonder how Jesus actually spent his entire life in a desert. We spin tall tales, myth and mythology. My particular favorites are in times of funerals where we say things that aren't biblical at all, like things like your loved one went to heaven to become an angel. I'm sorry, the last time I checked, the Bible said that I was created in the likeness of image of God, not an angel. My personal favorite is your loved one right now is receiving their angelic wings. We spin tall tales, myth and mythologies about heaven that look nothing more than just the city of Edina, but rather than people driving around in cars, they're drinking Red Bull because, you know, it gives you wings. Now, you may be wondering, what does death anxiety have to do with the second word that Jesus says to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, the reality is we spend so much time spinning tall tales, myth and mythology about what it is our lives will be like in heaven that we rarely think that the message that Jesus is conveying to the thief may not actually be a quick answer into what our life will be like on the other side. What if? What if Jesus' message to the thief is that in the kingdom of God there is restorative justice rather than retributive justice? Restorative justice is a criminal justice system that centers on the rehabilitation and restoration of offenders, whereas a retributive justice system focuses on a criminal justice system that only seeks to punish the offenders. What if Jesus' word to the thief while he's strung up on the cross, in the words of James Cone, on the lynching tree that symbolized death and terror and torture from the empire, what if Jesus is declaring to the thief that on this day, even this day, when you enter into paradise, you are entering into a kingdom where there is restorative justice? It is not surprising to me that we spend so much time talking about heaven, especially with the way that we disassociate ourselves from people we deem as criminals. You know, those criminals, those thugs, those hoodlums, those gangsters, those mobsters, those terrorists, right? We disassociate ourselves with the people that we deem as criminals. So it is not surprising to me that we are completely ignorant and illiterate when it comes to understanding the mass incarceration system that is in our country that continues to shackle young men and women of color. It is not surprising to me that we are completely ignorant about the fact that prisons are built based upon third grade test scores. That's old news. It's not surprising to me that we make no correlation to Jesus' words to the thief on the cross, that he is, in fact, bringing forth a kingdom where there's restorative justice, because of the way that we disassociate ourselves with people who are criminals and thugs and gangsters and mobsters. Of course, we disassociate ourselves with those. So, of course, we are completely unaware of the flaws that exist in our criminal justice system, a system where a 16-year-old boy, not man, boy, by the name of Khalif Bruder, is charged with a crime that he did not commit. And because his family didn't have $3,000 to bail him out, he spent 3 years in Rikers Island Prison. 16-year-old boy in Rikers Island Prison. Let me tell you what happened. We have kids in the room, so I won't be as descriptive as I intended to be. His first full years, he was raped, he was molested, and he was beaten. So the next two subsequent years, he spent in solitary confinement. 3 years he spent in Rikers Island Prison, never actually being charged, never being presented before a judge or a jury in a country that tells me that I am innocent until proven guilty. But it is not surprising to me that we make no association because he was deemed a criminal. 3 years he spent in prison. The only reason why he ever got out was because the media caught wind of the story, and within 2 years, Khalif Bruder committed suicide. It is not surprising to me that we make no association with the words that Jesus said to the man on the cross, that today you will be with me in paradise, has to do with restorative justice, because in churches on Sundays, pastors, we spend all of our time talking about, look at Jesus, this wonderful man who sat down with the criminals and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, all the while blatantly ignoring the fact that we ourselves are the criminals. We ourselves are the thugs. We ourselves are the hoodlums. We ourselves are the gangsters and the mobsters. And Jesus had the audacity to sit with us. How stale is the stench of the American Christian church hypocrisy, that we have the audacity to disassociate ourselves with people we deem as criminals, people we deem are worthy to be shunned, when in reality, the last time I checked, according to the $1,000 I spent on seminary, tell me that according to the criminal justice system of heaven, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And any offense in the kingdom of God deems me as a criminal. I'm going to talk about myself. I don't know y'all, so I'm going to talk about myself. Any offense that I commit deems me as a criminal. A criminal in which God stands on the throne as the judge and the jury. A system that in its retributive form means that I am worthy of only one thing, that is death. And not the death where I close my eyes and I raise again and get my angel's wings. I'm talking about the death where it is eternal. But Jesus Christ had the audacity, while strung up on a cross, nails in his hand, crown on his head, had the audacity to cast his eyes to the right side at a thief on the cross and declare to him, today, even yet on today, you shall be with me in paradise. He's making a declarative statement that for every person in this room that believes, there is restorative justice. Justice that we do not deserve. But in his faithfulness and his goodness and his compassion and his mercy and his love, God saw fit to allow his son to die on a cross so that we could receive restorative justice. We who are in this room are the criminals, are the thugs, are the thieves, are the liars. Come on, somebody. So the next time you hear a news report about a criminal who's so disruptive and belligerent that airport police have to subdue him and have to drop and drag him out of a plane, knocking out teeth and breaking a nose. The next time you hear a story, I just want to dare you to go to the nearest mirror in your house, look at yourself, and proclaim to yourself, I am the criminal, I am the thief, I am the liar, I am the thug, I am the gangster, I am the mobster. And if it had not been for the mercy, compassion, grace, love, and faithfulness of God, who allowed his son to die on a cross, I would be worthy of retributive justice, death, eternal. But Jesus had the audacity to cast his eyes to the right while he was lynched up on that cross and declared to the thief, even unto day you shall be in paradise.